Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
Today, I just want to set the stage for the next few weeks. I want to talk to you about strongholds. You know, there's strongholds that God gives us. Like, there's a stronghold in my life, and it's health. That God's given me a stronghold of health in my life now. It's like, oh my gosh, no matter what kind of news I get or what hits me, I know God's my healer. Anybody with me on that? And see, no matter what kind of news we get, so there's a stronghold. But there are also strongholds that the enemy brings into our life. And how you know it's God or you know it's not God is simply by how it affects you, the effect that it has. And there's so many people that there's strongholds that occupy their lives that with God, if that happens, it's going to lift your life. If you realize that there's been a diagnosis of disease or illness that's hit your life, man, you know that God's your ever-present help in time of need. This is a time where I need you, God, and I need you to be Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals me. And let me tell you, that's who he is. That's not just what he does. That's who he is. When you know God, you know his health. You know his healing. And that's an intimate knowing. And with that, but the enemy, it's different. It's not an uplift or a blessing in your life. It becomes a curse in your life or a suppression in your life. A stronghold that suppresses you, that holds you down. And you might even identify people as that relationship that you have that's holding you down. It's like I think a lot of parents that get in denial and they're like, yeah, my kid's a good kid. It's just hanging out with the wrong people. Well, the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. And when does your kid be the wrong people? And you take care of that. You deal with that. And I got people that'll come to me and say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm just the dad. Oh, my gosh. That's where we got to find that place where you could backhand somebody right across the mush when they say, well, I'm just the dad. Because they'll want to say, I can't tell my kid who to hang out with. I'll be like, who's going to if you're not going to? No, we train our kids to be good pickers. Why? Because we want them to fulfill the call of God in their life, number one, and we want them to marry the right people. Man, if there's anything that you want to believe God for your kids, it's those two things. They fulfill God's purpose in their life, and they marry the right people. Let me tell you, that equates to great life right there. And we understand that. But see, what God's going to do, he's going to take what the enemy means for bad, that suppression that's been in your life. And just like God, the enemy will use people. God uses people. God doesn't use buildings anymore. The only reason the presence of God is in this room right now is because you're here. It's not because of the paint on the wall or the stained glass windows or the pews or the hymnals or anything else that we don't have. But we just have great people in here. I mean, just amazing people. And let me tell you, God wants to be with great people. God wants to be with amazing people. And that's who you are. Man, I'm not blowing smoke at you. I'm telling you, this is direct from heaven, a message for you. Just receive it. Because what it's going to do, it's going to lift your life. But what's in your life? See, because really, honestly, where I think a lot of people deal with it, and where I think most Christians, especially men from certain generations, didn't know how to express their emotions. I'm an emotional guy, okay? I mean, you realize that if you cross me, someone that I love or something, you get emotional about things. Like, okay, I've got to control my emotions. I can't let them control me. And the whole idea of that. But the idea of this is that everyone deals with the emotional side of life. And I really think the church kind of stayed minimal in the world and didn't have the impact that it needed to have for generations because, man, men didn't know how to deal with their emotions, and most of them were leading the church. See, we've got to understand that. It seems so complex, and so many people can't have the victory in their life because they can't find that victory in their emotions. And I'm going to address that today, and I want to deal with strongholds in your life. Where the stronghold is that God, man, he's our high tower. We run to him and we're safe. That's a stronghold. But there's also that stronghold that the enemy will bring, and you'll be like, I can't break this habit. I can't get out of this funk. I've got depression. I've been diagnosed with depression. I've got this that I deal with. I'm always going to have. I've always had financial troubles. I'll always have. Man, those are Those are suppressions in our life. And what we've got to do is we've got to rid our lives of those suppressions. And the three things where this all starts today, number one is we have to know the truth. Number one, we have to know the truth. Let me just tell you, what I'm saying and what I preach is what I find in God's word. Okay? Very little of it's well, my opinion on this is. Okay, that's very rare where that happens. And normally I try to preface what I'm saying with, look, this is just my opinion. But the idea of this is, don't just take my word for it. See, your doctrine can't be based upon what someone told you raising you. Because of church-going Christians, a poll was made, what's your favorite scripture? Well, God helps those who help themselves. It's not in the word. So their favorite scripture is not in the Bible. And it's like, okay, hold it. Someone's got to bring a little correction here. And see, and that's what these kind of services do. They bring a little correction to get us back on path. We have to know the truth. Number two, we have to set parameters in our life based upon God's word and God's promise, based upon that self-same truth. What are the parameters of your life? Man, I doubt that anybody in here is going, well, what are you going to do this afternoon? I'm going to go rob a Quick Trip. Because that's outside the parameters. But see, you've got to have those. You single people, young people, in your dating life, you have to have parameters. You men, when you leave the house, if you're isolating yourself, understand it's easy for you to ignore parameters if you're by yourself. See, I doubt that anybody in here is going to sin in the next 30 minutes. So this is a good place for you to be. Man, this is parameters. This is we're going to get you thinking along a great line, a great path. And let me tell you, everybody here, just like you, I'm going to stand before God and make account for every idle word. I'm going to. The time in my life that didn't do anything for God, I'm going to have to make account for that, okay? And most of it, I better have had a good plan or strategy to make account for those words. But me as the pastor of a church and a leader and the authority that God's delegated me in this house, is I'm also have to stand before God about your soul. I don't have to stand before God about the decisions that you made. I don't have to stand before God about the kind of truck that you drive. I don't have to stand about how you wear your hair or who you married or where you live. None of that stuff. But how you think, I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to make account for your soul, how you think. You could choose to think a different way. You know, I remember when I told my dad, in the spring of 1979, I crossed some very dangerous lines and had a hit call to my life. I went home and I talked to my dad. My dad just sat down and he said, Bill, there's nothing I can do for you. Your mom and I have raised you and you've chosen a different path than how we raised you. He said, I've given my life to God. She's given her life to God. Everybody in the family is serving God. You're not. This is what happens when you don't serve God. He spelled it out very clearly to me. And then he said, there's nothing I can do. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And then he said, but there's one thing. And I'm like, and I got to get sick to my stomach because I knew what was going to happen. You know, Christians go to, when you're in a pickle, you're by, they're going to pray for you. And God delivered me, and Jesus made himself real to me. And it was all what happened because my dad prayed for me at our kitchen table right then and there. And then the next thing you know, Jesus made himself real to me in my life. And a few months later, I gave my life to Jesus. And I'm telling you, my old life has been in my rearview mirror. But listen, I still, in this new life that I have in Christ, I still have emotions. I still have a mindset. I still have a thought life. And you know what? The world and the powers thereof are trying to suppress that. But you know what? God will never suppress it. And it's always about setting us free. It's always about us, but we have to set parameters. And the third key point here is you have to know who you are in Christ. You know, you've been here for a couple of years and you've been around. If you don't know who you are in Christ, this isn't going to help you. You've got to know who you are in Christ, not who you've been raised, not how you've been educated, not your skill set, not how cool you are, not the trends that you have, but who the Word says that you are, who God says that you are. That's who I want to be. That's how I want to think of myself, is what God's Word thinks of me, what God says of me. And see, that's how this works. But in how we think, it's real simple. What Paul said in In Philippians 4, in verse 8 and verse 9, these are the kind of verses you need to take them to heart. You need to have them in your memory. You need to know this. When the word starts listing things, man, they build upon each other, and it's powerful. Finally, brethren, finally, listen to the word, to the verbiage here that Paul says. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, if anything's praiseworthy, what did he say? Think on these things. Finally, think like this. Here's what you think on, but let me just tell you. He said, meditate on these things. And then in verse 9, he says, the things that you've learned and you've received and you've heard and you've saw in me. See, now the pressure's on Paul. He said, these things that you've learned and you've received and you've heard in me, he said, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. He's not putting himself up on a pedestal. He just said, no, the Bible says, imitate those who through faith and patience have secured the promises. Man, you find people that are living God's promise. You find people that have been diagnosed with that disease that you've been diagnosed with. And you know what? Man, God got them through. I'm telling you, you say, okay, what's my next step? My next step is you can't let your mind go there. Here, think on these things. Is that bad diagnosis? Is that financial report a bankruptcy or whatever it is, are those the things, are they pure, good, pure, of good report? Is there virtue? No, there's no power in that. They're suppressing. So we've got to deal with that. We've got to deal. We can't just be unemotional. God gave us emotions. You know, most of the planet doesn't have it, but mankind does. God wants us to feel him. God wants us to sense him. And God wants us to be able to reject the world. See, that's the key. What can you reject? Because let me tell you, I'll bet you most of you have gotten good at rejecting God. Rejecting God's word. Oh, yeah, I don't pray enough. I don't get that, all that praying. I never heard God. God doesn't talk back to me. Oh, I can't read the word. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Let me just tell you, that says a lot about you if you're going to buy into that deception. Because Jesus said it's simple enough for the smallest child to understand. I challenge you, man, any 3 or 4-year-old, where does Jesus live? Right here. No, but you know what? You get a little older, you get a little brighter, get a little wittier. Where does Jesus live? Well, it's not that easy. You know, it's not just a, no, you know what? Quit talking and just point right here. Right here. See that? I thought of some very witty things, but I gotta stay on track. Because listen, God gave you those emotions to propel you. They can work out for the kingdom. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in the 23rd and 24th verses. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, completely, and may your whole, listen, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will also, he who calls you is faithful, and he'll also do it. But listen, we go back to the previous verse, and it says your spirit, soul, and body. See, here's what happens. Here's the breakdown for a lot of people. When you get saved, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, okay? When you say, God, forgive me of my sin, cleanse me of my iniquity. God, I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. What God does is he takes that literally, and Jesus becomes your Lord. So what he does is he takes your heart, your spirit that was of stone, and gives you a spirit of flesh that's alive unto him. So now you are reborn. There's a new birth that happens. There's a new life that comes into you. But listen, it affects your mind in the initial step, because the effect it has is, I think I just became a Christian. I think there's a chance I'm going to heaven now. I think that Jesus is going to make himself more real to me now, because they talk about this relationship and a connection with God. But it's like this. Here's the step you just took. It's that much. It's easy for you to go back. It's easy for you to say, God, I make Jesus the Lord of my life, and leave and never go back to it. It's easy for you to do it and then just come to church once every month or two and knock all the dust off your Bible, pull it out of the trunk of your car, and come into church and act like you belong. It's easy if you want to be led by the flesh, but then you have to understand that if you're led by your flesh, you're going to sow to the flesh. And the Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. So you're thinking, why is anything working out? I gave my life to Jesus because you never brought any discipline to your mind or your body. See, that's the key to life right there. Yeah, you know what? You go somewhere, you go to a crusade, you go somewhere and say, okay, here's the magic pill. Man, make Jesus Lord of your life and everything's going to work out. I'm not that saying that to you. What Paul said is, what Elijah said to Elisha, what Paul said to us, the things you hear from me, the things you see in me, those are the things you say and those are the things you do. What does that do? It brings everything into focus. Man, you become a new creation, a new creature in Christ. Old things, but that's spiritually. So now, what do we have to do with our minds? With our minds, we have to renew our minds. And the Bible says daily. Paul wrote and he said, check that you're in faith daily. Man, you could get out of step by Monday. And I think many people have. And God's called you faithful, but all three are spirit, soul, and body. They all come into play. And when we start talking about this freedom, that our spirit just requires, because we become righteous in God. It doesn't feel like it. I'm righteous. I've been serving God since 1979. I've never really looked back. But there's days I don't feel righteous. There's days I'm dealing with things. So what do I have to do? Man, I've got to immerse. See, the way God does anything is the way God does everything. How God does things is baptism. There's going to be people in this room that are going to follow Jesus in water baptism today, and it's going to be great. And that doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. It's just a step in you saying, I'm going to publicly confess Jesus, Lord of my life, and I'm following after Jesus. So I'm going to get dunked in front of all these people. But God wants your brain. God wants your mind and your body, your will and your emotions, your mindset to be baptized as well. That we baptize and we immerse our lives into this kingdom. See, we can't live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You can't live that way. Because I'm telling you, they are two separate planes. It's not a lateral plane that we can stand on. No, one's up here and one's down here. You're either in one and you're either of one or you're of the other. But you know what? We're all subject to gravity. We are in this world. We just have to release our mindset from being of it. Oh, there's something just going around. I got the crud. Well, you know, it's the flu season. Oh, you know, most people have a cold. Let me just tell you, man, if you're going to live by the standards, if that's your parameters, that's what you get. But show me in the Word. Show me in the kingdom where we're subject to that. Show me. Because the plane that God's called us to live in Colossians, the first chapter. And let me tell you, these five or six verses are 10 messages in these six verses. 10, I mean, so I'm going to read it. I'm going to pull some things out. But this is one of those things. Get your phone out. Make a note to yourself. I've got to reread Colossians 1, 9 through 14. I've got to spend a little bit of time in this. And when I say time, I'm not asking you for a week. I'm asking you for 10 minutes. That if you today go home and you open up the Colossians, the first chapter, and you read it for 10 minutes, your relationship with God is going to skyrocket. Okay? For this reason, we also, since the day that we heard it, don't cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with all the knowledge, of his will in all wisdom. Now listen here, and spiritual understanding. Come here, Jeremy. So it goes here. Let's just say for practical measure, okay? This is a little, but Jeremy's spirit is here, okay? Well, his mind is here. His understanding is here. His understanding is not here. His spirit is here. So now God's going to give Jeremy, listen, spiritual understanding. See, so now he can't trust what he sees. He can't trust how he feels. He's got to trust what God's word says. See, his spirit trusts God. His spirit. The reason a lot of people are here today is because your life's right with God. You've been born again. Your spirit has been reborn. And now you're connected with God. And your spirit hungers after God. Your mind, though, is like, it's not that big a deal for me to be here. I got other things to do. It's almost noon. Can you close this? Can you finish this up? That's your mind. But let me just tell you need to sit here and listen here and take this in and do what I tell you to do. Go back and read Colossians 1 when you're at home for 10 minutes. Why? You want to get that hunger up here. See, because your hunger, you're going to hunger after the menu at where you're going to go to brunch after church. You're going to hunger, man, some of you guys hunger after porn. Man, you hunger after other things. The only way you want to break that in your life, you hunger after cigarettes, you hunger after liquor, you hunger after drugs, you hunger after all this stuff. You want to break that hunger, you have to have spiritual understanding. Then your mind will start hungering for the things of God. That's how this works. The magic pill you get is Jesus becomes Lord of your life, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can snatch you from the Father's hands, and you get to go to heaven. But your life can be hell on this earth. That's why Jesus said, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. How do you do that? You have to discipline your mind. You have to discipline your body. Verse 10, Colossians 1, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. I know that's everybody's heart. How do you do that? It's spiritual understanding. Fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Fruitful in every good work, God will bless what you put your hand to. See, this is fail-safe. God has built the kingdom for us to win. For us to win every day. Did you win yesterday? If you say, well, no, then you were in the flesh. Then you let the world dictate that to you. Then you're looking at the world scoreboard. If you continue to look at the world scoreboard, you are never going to be ahead and never going to win. I'm telling you, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many of you guys go for life and peace? Let me hear you. Life and peace. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering. You ready for this? You ready? With what? With joy. When's the last time you were patient, had joy because you were patient? Come on. What are you doing? Man, I'm patiently waiting. I'm waiting. Get it done. Come on. Get it in my hands. Let's go. No, there's patience with joy. Think about this. Long suffering. When's the last time you had joy in your suffering? Why? Well, wait a second. That doesn't make sense. Right. To a carnal mind, it doesn't. You know what Paul said? I've got to decrease so that he can increase. Man, what does your education tell you? What does your background tell you? I better be increasing. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Yeah, I want that prosperity. Can you preach some of the prosperity gospel? Can you preach the message? I believe wholeheartedly in the prosperity gospel, that God wants to prosper us in everything, wholeheartedly. What does it take, though? It takes discipline. It takes suffering. It takes me denying my flesh. Oh, wait a second. I don't like that part of it. I want the name it and claim it part of it. I want the give to get part of it. Yeah, you know why we give to get? So we can give again. So we get, so we give, so we get, so we give. See, that we just want that cycle operative in our life. See, the enemy wants to pollute it. The enemy wants to bastardize God's word. And see, and I say that because we're not bastards anymore. We've been adopted. We're in the family now. God's our dad now. I'm not some spiritually homeless person. You're not some spiritually home. You've got a home right here. That's what the local church is. In verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Do you see that? In the light. With joy, the previous verse. In the light. See, this is what the conditions are. You walk in the light, you're going to reap this. You get in the darkness, it's not there. You're going to be unfruitful, and you're going to be frustrated, unsatisfied, unfulfilled. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, yay, and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. See, there's so much here. Go back to Colossians 1, 9 through 14 and just read it three or four times. It'll take 10 minutes. But read it to get it in you. Read it to catch it. Man, it's gonna convict you of things that you were misstepping, some things that you had added to your life. It's gonna redo the recipe for your life, and that's where the victory is. The victory is in this new recipe. Man, we don't have to live in the bondage of sin or in the other unhealthy things that used to dominate our lives. Man, think about that. We don't bring that into the kingdom. It's not about that in the kingdom now. Man, it's new life. It's new opportunity. It's a brand new slate. Man, there's people in here today that are going to give their lives to Jesus. People in here today that are going to get their lives right with God. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to wipe their slate clean. But then not just that. Are you ready for this? He's going to take that slate and he's going to shatter it. And he's not going to keep track or count your offenses. It's not just he wipes it clean so that you can rewrite sin on it. He doesn't keep track of it anymore. See, that's how great a salvation this is. The price for our freedom has been paid. Get over yourself. I'm not kidding you. Man, I love that. I love that Don Henley, that Eagle song. Love that song. We can't sing it at church. But I love that song that it said, it just said, and find your little, your inner child and kick his little. Don't let that dominate you anymore. You're a new creation. Spiritually, we've been translated out of our old way of life. We have a new way of thinking, a new way of thinking. This new way of thinking is, we have new standards. We have new right and wrongs. Man, used to be, you hurt me, I hurt you. That's what's right. Remember, an eye for an eye? I got a new right now. My right now is, you strike me, I turn the other cheek. And I'll tell you, you'll go, well, that's so hard to do. I watched a man do it. We were preaching at Hickey Creek 25 years ago. I had a friend, Scott Starnes, that was the strongest human being I've ever met in my life. He's a farm animal. He walked up and I was preaching, and this guy walked up and said, hey, you better tell him to shut up. Like a little 20-year-old kid. Scott said, no, you can't shut him up. He goes, I'll shut you up. He goes, no, you can't shut me up either. He goes, you try it. You say something about God to me. He said, God loves you, man. He gave his son Jesus to die for you. His forgiveness is right here. You can receive it today. That guy came from his heels and punched Scott in the face. His nose and his mouth were bleeding on his shirt. He's wiping the blood away. And the guy said, see, you're going to shut up now. He goes, no, it's not just that he loves you and he gave his son Jesus. He wants Jesus to be the author and the finisher of your faith. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to ear hole this guy because I was a really good fighter in the day when someone wasn't looking and I could strike him. And so this guy's looking at Scott. I'm not kidding you. I won a lot of fights, but people didn't even know it was coming. They didn't even know they fought me. They didn't know what happened. And I was a champion of the world. And but I'm just saying my heart, I'm just, because man, he struck my friend and my friend just keeps preaching, so I can't. And you know what? That guy got mad and he ran off and like 10 guys came up and said, how did you do that? See, we turn the other cheek. We don't return evil for evil. The world notices that. I mean, we've got to be, we've got new standards. We got a new right and wrong. We got a new source of strength. We have new power. I have a new motivation now. I'm going to live my life to populate heaven. The best way I could do that is help you to fulfill the purpose that's on your life. Because an aspect of the purpose on every life in this room is to get as many people in heaven with us as we can. It's new. It's a new objective in life. It's new goals. It's new life. Man, let that sink in just for a second. This is new life. Our old way of living, of thinking, of doing things, it doesn't work anymore. And you still may ask, well, why isn't this working? This requires discipline for your mind and your body. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation, new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, all things are of God. Let me help you. Some of you guys got married before you were Christians. And your marriage is just rough. It's hard. And the devil has convinced you you've married the wrong person. Well, let me help you. You give your life to Jesus, that person becomes the right person. God turns everything around for you. And it's just because this one verse right here. Now, all things are of God. Now, is it God's will for you to be married to the right person? That woman just became the right person, fellas, just because you gave your life to Jesus. See, that's how this works. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, given all of us. You become a new creation. With that new creation is you get ministry in you. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses. Their slate was broken, not just clean, but broken. And it's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I speak for him. I have authority now. It's been delegated me, an ambassador for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He became our sin. So my sin nature died on that cross, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Golly. God's word, his will, it connects us with our recreated spirit, but then our minds have to be transformed, and that's how our bodies become whole and healed and strong. There's a new way for us to think, a new way for us to speak. The new life, it's the new spirit that we have is immediate. The effect in our mind and our body requires discipline. You got to say no to your flesh. It takes focus and time. It takes a new attitude. Some of you guys have to find that I can attitude. And I've got dreams. I've got desires for this church. I have desires for my family. I have desires that, and I know God hasn't just doesn't want to materialize my desires. He's given me new desires. I have to be submitted to God's word. I have to live in humility and generosity. And I have to realize, and I do, and you need to realize, there is no momentum in your old ways. None. I know that. So much of my life, I've operated by the arm of the flesh. I've gone to my toolbox, my skill set. And now I've realized, it's been years ago, I've realized that everything I value in my life now has come to me. Everything. Bob and Bev came to me. Gib came to me. Sandy came to me. Jeremy and Nina came to me. They've all, the Webs, you guys have come to me. This is what I value. Scott, you came to me. I didn't go looking for a pilot. You came to me. That's how God does it. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all that stuff will be added unto you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.